Joining us right now, our good buddy, Todd Furman from Vegas. You can follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. Todd, what would the odds have been if I said, I'll take Peyton Manning over 6.5 touchdowns thrown last night?
You would have had to look far and wide to try and find a prop like that, Peter. His number for touchdown passes is actually set at 2.5. And you go through, you watch that first quarter, you don't think you have a chance to catch that, let alone nearly triple it with that outstanding performance from the Denver Broncos offense. Once it got rolling, and to see Peyton Manning kind of hit his stride after only 15 minutes or so.
Okay, Todd, and when's this going to be on the big board? I've been saying since July that the 50 touchdown passes in a season, that's going down. That record's going down, so I want to know what the odds on that are. So as soon as it happens, let me know.
Can you do a prop bet on that?
If last night was any indication, he may be able to break that by the Denver Broncos bye week.
No.
When you talk about touchdown passing leaders, and Peyton Manning was definitely up there before the season. There wasn't an over-under set on how many he would actually throw, but he's clearly up there with the likes of Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and company. And as we saw, it looks to be the way that Denver's bread will be buttered. It's not going to be the ground game, although getting the ball to No'Shawn Moreno in space definitely helped for extended stretches. I think a lot of that, though, is that Baltimore just couldn't put pressure on the Broncos, and the hurry-up offense really paid dividends.
So, Todd, if this is the trend, and Vegas already had the Broncos as a shoe-in to rep in the Super Bowl, and everybody feels
6-1, they were the favorite, right?
Does that line move any depending upon how much Peyton can realize that type of week-to-week success points-wise?
Well, it's funny because normally one result doesn't move the needle, but as dominant as Denver looked last night against the defending Super Bowl champs, some of the offshore books have moved the Broncos from a 6-1 favorite all the way down to 5-1 now. And that's only after one game. I talk all the time about not overreacting, but I think your hand is forced as an odds maker when you realize that people are going to come in and bet this Broncos team, especially seeing how they dismantled Baltimore. And knowing right now, they're not even operating at full strength. When they get the services of Von Miller back and Champ Bailey, the defense that most of us feared could be a weakness early in the season, that didn't seem to be the case in the least.
Okay, not to overreact, but...
We would never do that.
But talk about a couple NFL games for me, and talk about the two most likely opponents for the Broncos in the Super Bowl, in my mind. Talk about Seattle at Carolina. I'm a little surprised. I'm big on Carolina this year, but I'm looking at a board that has Seattle 3.5 favorites. I thought it would be more than that. And then when you're done with that, talk, that's got to be a marquee game. This has got to be a marquee game. Green Bay at San Francisco.
Well, when you said overreact, kids, I thought you were going to ask for Colorado BCS futures after the impressive performance against CSU.
Paul Richardson,
I'm glad
Heisman.
You're stick with the NFL. But you look at Seattle, and this team clearly has been a pick by many to represent the NFC. And this particular weekend, that number opened at 3.5 against Carolina. The price was bet down below that key number 3, where roughly 13% of all NFL games have landed each of the last 2 years. Number got down to 2.5. The public then sees Seattle dominate the preseason, and that price all the way back to 3.5. As far as the Green Bay-San Francisco game, the Super Bowl loser in their season opener is 1-10 against the spread. It was actually a 10-game skid until the Patriots found a way to dismantle the Titans last year. I'd love to back Green Bay here, but I have some real reservations about their offensive line. The loss of Brian Bulaga during the exhibition portion of their schedule make it awfully tough. But you won't see me putting down any money on San Francisco laying the 4.5 in their home opener.
Todd Furman joining us on the press box right now. You can follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. A couple of rookie or questionable quarterbacks play between Terrell Pryor. If it is E.J. Manuel in Buffalo, what does that do for the odds in Vegas?
The Oakland Indy game has taken off. That number opened with the Colts as a 6.5-point favorite. We're now seeing 10, more or less, as the prevailing number, a combination of the Terrell Pryor factor you allude to there, Peter, and simply that Oakland just isn't that good a football team. Interesting to think, though, Indy was never more than a touchdown favorite in any of their home games last year, and their average margin of victory in Lucas Oil Stadium was only about 6 points. As far as E.J. Manuel and how he'll start his career in Buffalo, this number's gone all over. The Patriots opened as a 7.5-point favorite. Number was pulled off the board when we saw Tom Brady's knee get rolled up on during the preseason. When Jeff Toole was expected to be the guy under center, that price ballooned all the way out to 12. We're now seeing the numbers settle in at 9.5. Real tough to lay that many points with New England on the road, but no idea what to expect out of Buffalo. It'll be between them and the Jets battling for cellar dweller rights in the AFC East all season long.
Okay, I know I'm a little unusual in Colorado, but I love college football. And I want to talk about a matchup between two teams that in the past several decades have been powerhouses, but right now I'm not sure how good they are. Florida and Miami, they're playing each other. Where do they rank in the power rankings when Vegas people are establishing odds?
This is one of the more fascinating games. Florida, a team that most of us out here expected to kind of regress a little bit, didn't believe they were as good as that 11-1 record last year indicated. Also didn't believe that they were as bad as what they showed against Louisville in the Sugar Bowl. The key in this matchup, Kiz, will be how Florida's offense performs against Miami's defense. Those are the two weaker units overall on these two particular teams. We know that Miami's offense is absolutely explosive, led by Stephen Morris, Duke Johnson, and a talented receiving corps, and Florida's defense clearly is the strength of that team. What's interesting, though, about this number, Florida, 3-point favorite for a trip down to Sun Life Stadium. This implies Miami actually has a home field advantage, which a lot of us as bookmakers really don't give them credit for, because Miami fans don't come out. Really believe that this will be a 50-50 split, potentially more Florida fans. And I actually see some value in the Gators, especially because I think they have the better defense, and Jeff Driscoll will be able to do enough to get into the window.
All right, we joked about it, about the biggest shock, but CU, CSU, both of those guys, you take something out of the Rocky Mountain Showdown. From the Vegas standpoint, does that change what you guys look at from CU and CSU?
It doesn't change a whole lot. I think when you look at CSU, Jim McElwain has the program headed in the right direction. Clearly would have liked to beat their in-state rivals as we talk about bowl eligibility. But they showed some flashes throughout, and I think McIntyre had his team focused. You look at Colorado's offense showing some punch, what they lacked all of last season. It'll be real interesting to try and see what you get. Clearly, I think CSU still finishes with more wins by virtue of the schedule they'll encounter than CU. But if this is any indication, it's definitely something to build on, and maybe Buffalo fans have a chance to be excited for the first time in a few years.
Hey, Todd, I know that the fight's not until next weekend, but I do want to know what's the money doing on Money May and Canelo.
Well, what you're seeing right now is Floyd still a relatively heavy favorite, not so much by Floyd standards, but when you look at how much money will come in on Canelo Alvarez, Floyd -270, meaning you have to put up $2.70. To make a dollar. The real interesting bet here, Orton, is that the over-under rounds is set at 11.5, and that number continues to get bet up, over 11.5. You look at the way Floyd's going to approach this, I think he'll go in there playing defense, looking to counterpunch. Canelo Alvarez, actually the number one boxer in terms of connect percentage. That being said, he hasn't faced a guy who's as defensively sound as Floyd. My gut says Floyd wins this thing in a decision, and we'll end up seeing a rematch.
I tell you what, that's going to be a very, very rich rematch for everybody. Incredible stuff always, each and every week, joining us on the Press Box. You can follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman, or see him on Fox Sports 1 television.
What?
Are you on tonight?
The segment actually aired last night for college football. It's up for debate if we'll see the NFL segment. Let's say that Fox, a little reluctant to talk NFL gambling. They're afraid the commissioner may come down with an iron fist. But the college segment is available on the Fox Sports Live website, so you can check that out. Picked a few games with my boy Clay Travis and Andy Roddick. Definitely entertaining. And, Peter, you'd be impressed. Andy Roddick calling me out for being single, given the pick I made on the Michigan State South Florida under.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Todd, it's always great stuff, man. We appreciate the time, all right?
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great weekend.
There it is, Todd Furman. How funny is that? The NFL, the professionalism, they're like, no, we're not going to do it.
Just don't do it on TV.
But the NCAA, the sanctity of the NCAA amateur.